Welcome to a new episode of Upstage Conversation. My name is Carrie, and this time I am joined for the first time by my good friend Terrence.
Hey, what's up?
And
yeah, I know it's weird to hear my voice forever, but yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, Terrence is here, and I'm super excited about it. And yeah, so we are talking about perhaps the newest movie version of a Broadway musical, which is In the Heights, which released just about 3 months ago now. This is the show Lin-Manuel Miranda did before Hamilton.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the thing. I didn't know anything about Lin-Manuel Miranda before. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't know shit about him. I didn't know he wrote so many songs. But yeah.
Yeah, so In the Heights, directed by John M. Chu, who's best known otherwise for Crazy Rich Asians. But let me
also?
Yeah, and Step Up, all the Step Up and the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Yeah, you saw that, didn't you?
I sure did see that.
Mm-hmm. Heard it wasn't that great.
No, it was fucking terrible. Yeah. So let me stress that In the Heights was directed by the same guy who did Gem and the Holograms. Yeah, well, I mean, this is at the very least it's better than the Holograms was. Let's get right into it. Terrence, if you want to briefly describe the plot of In the Heights.
Yeah, well, In the Heights is about a group of Latin folks that live in Washington Heights, New York. It's pretty much, I would say, a day in the life, but as far as the movie goes, it's like a month in the life of these folks.
It's like 3 weeks in the life or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know the play, however. I don't know what the time frame is in the play, because they don't really say. But the movie, you know, it
Chronicles, I think it's supposed to be set over the course of 3 days.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Strange. But yeah, and the trials and tribulations that they go through living in Washington Heights. Usnavi being the main character. Well, is he the main character?
I would say Usnavi is the main point of view character.
Yeah, he's the main POV character in the movie. And he's just going through the trials and tribulations of being Latin in America and the things that they go through. He's got friends that go through things, and it's a musical, which I'm not necessarily a huge fan of. But with this one, it's a little different. Actually enjoyed this.
Okay. So you're primarily focused on Usnavi, who runs a bodega, and he's like, I am moving back to the Dominican Republic, and I'm going to buy my dad's old place, and I'm going to revive it, and I'm going to live the dream. And then a bunch of shit happens and he decides that he's not actually going to do that. And that's basically it is very sort of slice of life.
Yeah.
Kind of
pretty thin, but you know, I mean, it's a musical. like come on.
Yeah.
It's not a huge plot when it comes to like, when it's a bunch of people singing at you for fucking 2 hours and like 20 minutes. This is a long movie.
It is long.
It's pretty long. Very long.
Yeah, it's 143 minutes. So that's basically 2 hours, 20 minutes exactly. Yeah. I mean, basically, you have your sort of neighborhood matriarch, Abuela Claudia, who like two-thirds of the way through the movie passes away in the middle of this heat wave. And then they discover that she had won $96,000 off of a lottery, and her will or whatever entrusted it to Usnavi. And then there's this sort of like, well, what is he going to do with the money? And he stays. And that's it. That's the story.
It's like, did you manage to watch the actual play, the musical?
I haven't seen the actual musical live, no.
Okay, yeah, I haven't seen, like, I had to watch, I watched the, like, a high school
okay
group do it, they were actually very good. There's a couple things that they changed. Actually, a lot of things that they changed.
Yeah, I mean, usually school versions of shows. No, I mean,
they did the actual, they did the like the Broadway play and the musical. Kids did that. They did the actual musical, but the movie changed
a lot. Oh, the movie changed a lot. Yeah, we can get into that. I mean, the movie cut some stuff for time, which is...
Because it would have been 3 hours. It would have been the length of Hamilton had it not... they not cut it. Cut some songs out, some things that they changed, like... what's his name? Nina's father is a widower in the movie. He's not in the play.
Yeah.
And both her parents in the play.
Yeah.
Her mother has a song in the play. In the stage play, which didn't really like that much, to be honest with you. But, you know, it's fine.
Yeah, apparently the screenwriter for the musical said that Nina's mother was cut from the musical so that they could spend more time focusing on the two other sort of matriarch characters, those being Claudia and Daniela. Also, on the topic of Nina, in the stage show, she loses her scholarship after her grades dropped from taking a bunch of extra jobs to support her family. In the film, she just drops out due to experiencing racism.
Look, here's the thing. When she tells the story to her father, she's sitting there in the movie. They're sitting at lunch, and she's like, she hands me the tray and all this other. And her father's like, "Oh, word for real? That's fucked up." So
right,
what? And then like at the dinner, like they search me. I'm like, "Did they arrest you?" Like me being a black man being pulled over by the cops and things like that. I was like, "So, like relax." I get it. But like, I was like, "You need to calm down."
Right, like. It sucks. And I know like they specifically wrote stuff into this musical to address like microaggressions and the DACA immigration policy and stuff like that. But yeah, so Nina in the film drops out because she experiences racism, guess, for the first time.
What? Well, if you live in Washington Heights, I guess like the only racism you would really see would be through the cops.
Right. I mean, look, if you're going to Stanford and you're going to like really fucking white area, then sure, I guess it's going to be worse.
You expect that. You can't be that naive. You just can't.
Yeah. And also she was like, "Oh, I'm so guilty that my dad spent all this money and made all this sacrifice so I can go to college. So now I'm going to not go to college despite everything that he's sacrificed."
He's like, "Yo, you a bugging. You need to calm down and finish them goddamn." Yeah. Come on. Stop it.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So I found that a little strange, but you know.
Nina and Benny's relationship is also different in the musical. Apparently in the stage show, Kevin does not like Benny because Benny isn't Latin.
He's not Latin, right. So he's just like, "You're an outsider. I mean, I gave you this job because you live here, but I don't really like you all that much. And I feel like you're probably older than my daughter." It was weird because I was watching the movie. I'm like, what's the age difference? He's been working for them for 5 years, right?
Yeah.
She just went off to college and came back after a year. How old is this nigga? Like, is he like 20 something?
Right.
It's a little strange that was probably like 3 or 4 year difference between when they were going to school together. But you know, I guess sure.
Yeah. That whole conflict. Not in the movie at all. Yeah, no time is spent on that. They're fine with each other. They actually seem to get along really well. The romance focus for the movie instead was recentered to be on Vanessa and Usnavi. But including the fact that the argument in the musical's version of the song The Club and Blackout, that argument... In the film takes place between Vanessa and Usnavi. In the musical, it's between Benny and Nina.
Benny and Nina, right. And that was another thing. I'm like, it makes more sense. Because in the movie, I'm like, why the fuck are they even arguing? Because he says something in the movie. They go to the club, right? And some dude asks Nina to dance, or Vanessa to dance. And she's like, "Nah, I'm cool." But Usnavi's like, "Yeah, go ahead. I'm cool. I'm whatever."
And then he's not cool.
And then at the end, She's like, yo, you didn't even dance with me. He's like, no, you went, no, I was trying to dance. You was dancing with everybody else. It's like, nigga, no, I wasn't. You just let me go dance with everybody else. Right. Now you're angry. What are you talking about? So I felt that was really weird because I watched the movie first. And then I went back and watched the play. And I'm like, okay, so this doesn't make any sense in the movie, but it makes a lot of sense in the play, but it's two different characters.
Yeah.
It was strange, but I don't, it didn't, they kind of screwed up on that, but
yeah.
Again.
Yeah, I would say the other big thing that was changed was the character Sonny, who's the kid who works at Usnavi's bodega. They made him into an undocumented immigrant. Yeah. And that's like a big part of the climax of the film, is that learning about his undocumented status is the impetus for Nina to go back to college so that she can have the tools to fight for him, right, so he can have the same opportunities.
That was good.
Yeah, so- I thought that was good. I thought that was handled much better from a writing standpoint than the references to like microaggressions and.
Yeah. And racism. And also Vanessa's mother in the play is the alcoholic.
Okay.
They don't show her or anything like that, but like she's got the issues with alcoholism and things like that. But they put it on Sonny's father.
Yeah. Who was
played by Mark Anthony, which didn't sing in the musical, which was fucking weird. I'm like, yeah, how do you have him in the movie and he doesn't sing? He barely says like three.
Nope.
Words.
He's here. He's going to say three lines.
Yeah. He says, I was like, it's very strange you have him, but in a musical and he doesn't sing a single thing, but that's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they that was another thing that they added, that they switched up, which it was fine. Like, again, his undocumented status, and some of the lyrics are still very timely, especially in 96,000. His verse in 96,000 was written in like 2007.
Yeah.
But it's still timely in 2021, which is sad.
Yeah. A lot of other things were, a lot of small things were changed to be more timely. They changed a reference to Manny Ramirez into a reference to Big Poppy. Yeah. They actually got rid of a reference to Donald Trump because
96,000.
Fuck Donald Trump.
They changed it to
Tiger Woods.
Well, Tiger Woods was also having like golfing with Donald Trump like 2 years ago. So, you know.
Oh, the other thing is apparently, and like I didn't pick up on this, so I don't think they did a good job, is apparently in the film, the characters of Daniela and Carla are apparently scripted and played as being in a romantic relationship with each other.
Yeah, I caught that.
I didn't catch that at all.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't.
Especially during, what was the penultimate song? Was it Carnaval de Barrio?
I didn't get it.
You didn't really
Okay. I didn't catch that at all.
Kind of clear to me, but in the play they weren't at all.
Yeah, in the play they're not.
It's not even a reference.
They were like, oh, we're gonna make him gay in the film. I'm like, yeah. I read that afterwards and I was like, wait.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't know why, but I mean, I saw it. I don't know
if because okay. If you caught it, that's fine. Yeah. Maybe I just I'll admit, you know, if it's entirely possible I was like making a snack or something and like didn't pause the film.
Yeah, I definitely caught that. I'm like, huh, was that a thing? And then I went back and watched the play. I'm like, no, they just added that.
Yeah,
just kind of wondering why, but
you know. Yeah, but yeah. So I mean, as with, I would say the vast majority of movie adaptations of stage shows, a lot of changes.
Yeah.
Some good, some eh.
Yeah, some just didn't make sense, but.
Yeah, ultimately, it's like, so they cut the songs Into Ill, Sunrise, Hundreds of Stone, Story, Hundreds of Stories, Attention, and Everything I Know. I mean, that's...
I would have liked for them to keep Into It, whatever, because that would have been sung by Jimmy Smits. And I just would have liked to hear him sing that song. And it would have made more sense because it would have actually made, it would have strengthened his resolve. It would have strengthened his character as to why he wanted his daughter so badly to go to college. But they cut that. And I get it. It's not the best song, but it would have made sense to keep that song in the movie. Just to kind of get his perspective on, because he's basically, I think that word means useless in Spanish. because that's what he kept saying.
The last time I thought any words in Spanish was, I believe, 10th grade.
Yeah, it was like 8th or 9th grade for me, and that was like 25 years ago. I'm old. So yeah, he's like, he feels useless because, like, if there's one thing I want to do, is to get my daughter the best education possible. And I think that song would have resonated in the play, in the movie, but they cut it out for time.
Since you mentioned Jimmy Smits, let's go ahead and talk about the cast a little bit. So we do have Anthony Ramos in the lead role as Usnavi, who I think is best known for appearing in the other Lin-Manuel Miranda musical.
The first time I saw him was in She's Gotta Have It.
Okay, that's not a movie I've seen.
No, it's a show on Netflix. It's
that shows how much I know about it.
Spike Lee movie back in the 80s. They made it a show on Netflix. And he plays Bugging Out. No, not that. Damn, that's a fucking Do the Right Thing character. What's his name? I can't remember his name, but that's the first time I saw him.
Mars?
He's a very good actor. Like, I like
him. He's great. Yeah, I think Anthony Ramos is incredible. And
he's an amazing singer.
He's an album. Yep. He's
an amazing singer.
He's really good.
Yeah.
He's really good. I mean, I mostly know him from the fact that he was in the original Broadway cast of Hamilton in the dual role of John Lawrence and Philip Hamilton. And I mean, he had actually, it's funny because he previously was in the stage version of In the Heights, first in 2012. As Sonny, and then later in 2018, he played Usnavi at the JFK run of the show. So I mean, he had previous experience.
Right. Very good.
He's really good. He was opposite Melissa Barrera as Vanessa. I'm not super
never seen her
familiar.
Never seen her in anything.
With her,
majority of the cast, most of them I like. Well, not most of them.
Yeah, I mean, she's been in a lot of different Latin American television shows, which is great. Okay. She's set to be in the 2022 reboot of Scream. So,
why is that?
Okay. I don't know.
Okay.
Leslie Grace is Nina. Again, not familiar with her at all.
Nope. Those two I had literally never
seen. I had no idea. Corey Hawkins was Benny.
He was good. I didn't know that. I didn't know he could sing.
Yeah.
I knew he was Dr. Dre and he was Black Power. And he was also in that movie, that Netflix movie with what's that guy in the new movie? He played Green Lantern. What's his name? Jesus Christ, the Hitman's Bodyguard.
Oh,
Ryan Reynolds. He was in Six Underground.
Okay.
And a bunch of other things that I've seen him in. I was shocked that he was a great singer also. Not the best, but I think he won a Tony.
Corey Hawkins?
Yeah, for something he did back in like 2017 or something like that. Yeah. I don't know what the play was.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's done a couple... He's done a couple theater things.
Yeah.
We had Olga Merediz as Abuela Claudia. She was the original Abuela Claudia for In the Heights. So sure, that checks out. I mean, you might as well. Jimmy Smits as Kevin.
Yeah.
Sure.
It was good to see him.
I forget that he can sing too.
Yeah, he had a couple parts. He had like one part in the intro, the In the Heights intro.
I mean,
you got to get people that can
like really sing,
right? At the very least, because this is a movie, you can do things in post production, but yeah, they gotta hold a note.
But then you've got like Daphne Rubin Vega, who's so good on Broadway and everything that she's been in.
Daniela?
Yeah, so Daphne Rubin Vega was Daniela. She originated the role of Mimi in my least favorite musical, Rent. And yeah, she's great. I thought she was really good in the role. As mentioned, Mark Anthony shows up, doesn't sing at all. He's there.
He barely says anything.
He has like three lines. Yeah. They were like, we're going to put you in a room with seven bottles of whiskey. Have a really good time, Mark. and then in a role that absolutely could have been cut, we have Lin-Manuel Miranda as the Piragua man.
He's got a song, though.
Yeah, but it's unnecessary. Like, they could have saved 15 minutes on the runtime if they had gotten rid of all of the Piragua songs. But instead, like, we have to like have fucking Lin-Manuel Miranda showing up.
They had to keep him because he's kind of like a showpiece in the play. And plus, it's
they could have cut it.
They could have. 100%.
They could have cut it, and it wouldn't have impacted the plot at all, and it would have saved you 10 minutes, and it would have saved everyone from having to see Lin-Manuel Miranda. One of my favorite, like, joke reviews of this movie is that it's an Old Navy commercial with Lin-Manuel Miranda jump scares. Like,
I've only known who he was for, like, the last year and a half. What is everybody's beef with him? Because I don't know.
I think he's hit a point of oversaturation.
I barely know who he is.
People are like, oh, he's just a generational talent. And it's just like, everyone's been sucking his dick for like the last decade. And I'm tired of it.
Here's the thing about him. I enjoy both the plays that I've watched him, that he's produced. And the reason why I do is because he's my age. Okay. We're literally like 40. We're both the same age. He grew up in New York, right? Grew up listening to hip hop in the same like generation. And like his lyrics, he's also like a theater brat. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm the complete opposite of being like a theater rat or whatever you want to call it. But the way he writes, like it kind of resonates with me.
Okay.
And the fact that I just learned who he was and I've like listened to his music, I'm like, I really dig this. So it's not oversaturated to me. So I can kind of, I dig what he does. If you've known him for 10 years, I can definitely see how he could be just like, yo, get the fuck off my screen. He's kind of like, it's kind of like the Kevin Hart from me.
Yeah.
Like, I think Kevin Hart is hilarious, but like, I'm getting tired of that nigga. And The Rock also. Like, I love The Rock.
Oh, I'm tired of The Rock.
I'm just sick of seeing his face.
Yeah, so I think for me, Lin-Manuel Miranda, and especially with how much writing he's done for like Disney projects and stuff like that, mm-hmm. At this point, and this might just be like me being slightly more musically minded as well, right. Is like I'm starting to pick out a lot of the same kind of cadences and a lot of the same kind of recurring stuff that like you can hear all over his music. Like, on one hand, it's like, okay, cool, it's a signature. On the other hand, it's like a lot of his raps like sound the fucking same when they're coming out of someone's mouth in terms of like the cadence of how someone's actually delivering the lines. Like, they are all the same. Like, half the shit from In the Heights like sounds musically, obviously not lyrically, but musically like stuff from Hamilton. And I'm just like, I am tired of hearing this. Yeah, this, I'm done.
Yeah, again, I've only known who he was for like a year and a half, and I can tell. I can listen to a song now from like other things and not know that he wrote it, but I'm like, this sounds like this sounds like Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote this. And I look it up, it's like, yep, I'm like Moana.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's like
how far I'll go. I'm like,
oh, yeah. There's a lot of shit in Moana where I'm just like, this sounds like shit you wrote for Hamilton and In the Heights, because this is the box you've decided you're going to live in. And I'm tired of that. You know,
I get it. If it's been that long, I understand. But
here's the thing. I think he's supremely talented, but I also think that people have been sucking his dick for the better part of the last decade. And I'm tired. Tired of it.
Yeah, I get it. Like I said, there's a couple people that I feel very strongly about when it comes to things like that. But yeah, I'm not quite tired just yet. I can see it coming because I could, like, you can pick up things, like you said, you can definitely pick things up in songs that he's done that you just know, like the different cadences, the like the staccato, because again, because he grew up in like the early 90s, the early to mid 90s, that's what he listened to. Mm-hmm. And like I said, that's what I listen to, like Biggie and all them other dudes. And so I'm like, I understand why he does it the way he does it, but.
Yeah, but also, like, I don't know, listen to something else and, like, I don't know, man. On the topic of the music, I do want to talk most favorite, least favorite. I would say 96,000 is probably my favorite piece in this. And that's also because...
That's the nonstop.
Yeah, that's also because, like... They shot it at this pool. And so like, it's this very over the top, very Broadway musical feeling number in the middle of the film too.
I really do love 96,000. I like that a lot.
It's good.
But I don't know if that's my favorite. Honestly, it's a tie between Paciencia y Fe or Carnaval de Barrio.
I like Carnaval de Barrio a lot too.
I think I'm leaning more towards that one because I just like, I don't know. I just love that song. I don't know what it is about that song. I really like that song, but like, I don't think there was anything that I hated that much, but am I
least? Piragua. That's my least favorite. I don't like it.
If I had to pick a least favorite, it's either between that and what's the song that Nina and Benny sing towards the end? I wasn't really feeling it.
When the sun goes down.
When the sun goes down. I don't know. I really wasn't a huge fan of When the Sun Goes Down.
Here's the thing. I think part of my problem with this musical at large is that a lot of this stuff just sort of blurs together into one long, very samey sounding thing.
Yeah.
Like 96,000 is the standout. And I don't like Piragua because I don't think it serves a purpose.
It doesn't. It
really especially doesn't. Not in the context of the film. Like, I'm sure in the context of the stage show, if they're using it as a set piece and they're using it as sort of like a reprieve from the other characters, that's one thing.
No, it doesn't.
In the context of the film, I don't think it works.
even in the stage play, it really doesn't need to be. It doesn't.
Maybe it's a cultural thing. Look, white, like,
yeah, I love shaved ice. I do. I really like.
I like a shaved ice.
It's delicious. That's all it is.
Yeah,
that's Paraguay. That's Paraguay. Yeah.
But like, it's, I don't know if that's like a cultural thing in Latin neighborhoods in urban areas.
Like the all funny thing is when I used to live in New York, Mr. Softy would come by my house every day. Like you'd hear the fucking it was a Mr. Softy ice cream.
Yeah.
Truck. Yeah. So like you know. I didn't live in Washington. I didn't live in that Latin neighborhood, so I didn't have the Paragua guy come through. But like, Mr. Softy served shaved ice.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's either between that and what was the other one I said?
When the Sun Goes Down.
When the Sun Goes Down. Those are my least favorite. But everything else was I really enjoyed. Like Blackout is cool. The club song. I think club song Benny's Dispatch also.
Benny,
second song. Like it was. I don't know. It's fine, but
it's there to establish who he is as a character,
which
I don't think it musically stands out.
It doesn't at all. But like In the Heights kind of established who he was as a character in the very beginning of the movie, him just being his homeboy. But Paciencia y Fe was those two. I switch day to day which one I like the most, but I think I go with
Paciencia y Fe
combined with the visuals of her singing about her arriving in New York back in like 1943 or whatever.
I mean, and Abuela's the best character in the musical.
Yeah, I love her.
Like, she's great.
She dies earlier in the movie than in the musical.
Oh, does she? Okay.
And it's a different, like, they don't even, Kevin pronounces her death in the play over the dispatch. She just kind of dies overnight. And this one is during the blackout and she passes away and they don't know she won. I mean, in the play, Usnavi knows that she won the lottery. she tells him, like, yeah, here's the money. It's the 96 grand. I'm going to give half to a third to you. I'm going to keep a third. I'm going to give the other third to Sonny. That's all cut out. They don't.
Yeah.
You don't know she won.
It's just like Usnavi gets it. Like,
yeah, he's like, oh, shit, damn. I just had he not looked in that little box, he probably would have threw the damn ticket away, which would have been fucked up.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that's another thing that changed. But overall, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I liked it.
I mean, you're not really much of a musicals kind of guy, so I find it interesting that you really enjoyed this, because I thought it was fine. Yeah. I didn't love it. I liked it. I didn't love it.
Like, my thing is, I don't like musicals because they're written by, like, older white folks.
That's
and the music
that fair.
Right, and the music that that's in them doesn't speak to me at all. Like, I'm like, what the fuck is this? Again, I grew up in the 90s listening to hip-hop and R&B. None of that. Like, I like other types of music. But like, I don't like niggas singing to me. it don't fit. But like, if you sing something that I enjoy, I can deal with it. And that's why I kind of dig his stuff, because like, he's in my wheelhouse. Now, again, over time, if he keeps doing projects and things like that, that start to sound samey. Yeah. I might become like a little jaded and like, all right, annoyed. You need to do something different, because now I'm fucking annoyed. But for now, like, I dig it. It's cool to me. So that's why I like this so much.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was fine. I didn't think like it was bad. I did think it was probably 20 minutes too long. And I think those 20 minutes could have been made up if you got rid of the Pirago guy.
Took him out of the movie. He didn't need to be there.
Look. Yeah. It's fine. I mean, I know I'm speaking basically entirely off of my own personal distaste for Lin-Manuel Miranda, sort of at large. Again,
I have seen other people start.
I'm tired
like,
of him.
Kind of, yeah. People are like, we see too much of him. I'm like, I don't know who he is, barely.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, but if you're in that space, I get it.
Yeah. I mean, that being said, it was well done, much as, again, John M. Chu of Gem and the Holograms fame is responsible for this movie.
Just fuck Crazy Rich Asians, right? This is like, no, he did Gem and the Holograms.
Oh, yeah,
that didn't even look good in the trailer.
No, it was bad. It was like me and three other people in that movie theater, and I remember like the movie ending and me turning to like the one other person in the media row and us just being like, what did we just watch?
Yeah, I can see that.
There's
one other thing about this movie that I guess I didn't even we could touch on a little bit. The fact that when the movie just came out, people were talking about the fact that there weren't any dark-skinned Latin folks.
That too. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because that had slipped my mind for a minute there.
Like, I heard that, and again, I'm black, 40, so I've been watching movies for 35 years of like stereotypical black folks in movies. My first take was like, I'm not Latin, so I can't tell you what to be mad at, right? But then at the same time, I'm like, it's the internet. And for me, I try to stay off of it, especially like Twitter and things like that, because everyone looks for the negative in everything. That's the first thing that they go to. And I'm like, okay, I get it. You have the right to be mad. I'm not going to tell you that you can't be angry at that, but you just completely skipped over the fact that it's not Latin people being in gangs, not Latin people shooting each other and things like that. So you just was like, fuck that. Where the dark Latin folks been? It's like, have those people been to Washington Heights? Because if you think of, like, I have, right? I mean, it's been a very, very long time.
Right.
But like, Latin folks in Washington Heights look like Usnavi. They do. They look like Anthony Ramos. Like, they do.
Yeah.
So I get it. And Lin-Manuel Miranda's response to it is like, he can't say go suck my dick from the back,
right?
Because he's him, right? So you got to be like, I'm sorry, like, I see you, I hear you, blah, blah, blah. We'll try to do better next time. But like, yo, let the movie breathe first before you just shit on it. Like,
yeah,
it's not a bad movie.
But I can see both ends of it, because it's like, yeah. Is it ultimately a positive portrayal of a minority community? Yeah, it is. It's a really positive portrayal, and it should be commended for that. On the other hand, could they have done better casting-wise? Yeah, they probably could have.
They could have. And again, like I said, I'm not Latin, so I can't really
Right. So. I'm white. I got fucking, I don't have a spot at this table at all.
I can't tell them to be pissed, but at the same time, like, yo, y'all just kind of just shot the movie in the foot before. I mean, it's on HBO Max. No one's in the theater right now, so it didn't do very well. But like,
no, I don't even know if it necessarily broke even. But that being said, it's interesting because like it is one of what's going to be a few film adaptations of stage musicals to release this year.
Yeah, what's the other one? The big one.
So there's two other big ones happening this year. One of them is Dear Evan Hansen, which is going to be fucking terrible. And that releases in like a week and a half. And I can't wait. I can't wait to watch Dear Evan Hansen and tell everyone how fucking terrible of a musical Dear Evan Hansen is. The other one is West Side Story.
Yeah. And that's directed by Steven Spielberg.
Steven Spielberg is doing West Side Story. And here's the thing. I still think it could be a mess.
That's later this year.
That's like Christmas. Yeah. Okay. So we'll see what happens. I'm going to watch both of them. And it really wouldn't surprise me if In the Heights ended up being the best of those three.
Because that's the most modern one. What about Dear Evan?
Dear Evan Hansen is also really modern. So In the Heights debuted in like
2009.
Some like 2009, 2011, somewhere in there. It was workshopped for a long time. Actually, Dear Evan Hansen is more recent because that debuted in 2015. Okay. It's not a good musical. And if you think Dear Evan Hansen is a good musical, you can meet me in the pit. Meanwhile, Lin-Manuel Miranda is directing another film musical.
That's going to be premiering on Netflix. I don't remember.
Tick, Tick, Boom.
Yeah.
Starring Andrew Garfield. I didn't know Spider-Man could sing.
He's British, right? Isn't he?
All these Spider-Men are British. I don't know.
Yeah, so he probably can. Like, can't they all sing? like, they all have like a great voices.
So
you just don't know it.
So yeah, to wrap up, In the Heights, I liked it. I didn't love it.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot, actually.
If Terrence liked it, then it's probably good. Terrence has great taste.
Look again. It's
my only other knowledge of my only other knowledge of musicals that you've seen is The Wiz.
That's not a good movie.
It's not a good movie. It's a great musical.
It's a good musical.
It's like,
I've seen the remake musical. I haven't seen the original, but I've seen one with Queen Latifah on NBC.
Mm-hmm.
That's very good. Mm-hmm. The movie is not very good.
I think I might have to have you back to talk about The Wiz film.
Yeah, that was what I was supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do that whenever I get set back up. I don't like that movie. People like black folks in the black community. That's a thing you do not say. That you don't like The Wiz, but like that's nostalgia talking. No, I mean no the movie.
The movie. Movies.
You like the movie?
No, I haven't seen it in a long time. When I was a kid, I liked it, but I didn't know any better.
Yeah, rewatch that movie.
Black cinema. I remember you doing it for Black on Black Cinema like 5 years ago. It's my favorite episode of Black on Black Cinema because you guys tore that thing apart. That
movie is really not as good as people think it is.
No, it's not.
It's not at all. But again, we have to support things that don't really come our way often. We do. It was in the 70s. It's a fucking musical.
Michael Jackson's in it.
Folks. Michael Jackson plays a fucking scarecrow. He's got the best song in it.
That's true.
But the as a whole, good lord,
bad.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Awful movie.
Well, we'll save it for next time. In the meantime, Terrence, appreciate you taking the time to watch In the Heights. In the meantime, thank you for listening. Don't forget that we are part of the Nerdpocalypse premium slate of podcasts. So that also includes The Airing of Grievances, No Time to Bleed, The Man with the Golden Tongues, and full episodes of the Look Forward Political podcast. So don't forget to listen to all of those, since if you're listening to us, you're already paying for the rest of that stuff too. But you can also check out all of our free content, including The Nerdpocalypse, Black on Black Cinema, Coming Distractions, and Dense Pixels, the best show on the network. So that'll do it for us this time. Thank you. Thank you again, Terrence. And we'll see you. Thanks.
Take it easy.